Father, we want to see you. We want to experience your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you that you're in this place with us today. Lord, we know that you are here. As we gather, Lord, may we know your peace that passes all understanding as you guard and direct our hearts in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 We've been looking at the book of 2 Thessalonians. As we understand 1 Thessalonians, we know some things about that. That is the part where Christ returns in the air, the rapture to take us home to be with him. Those of us who are believers and those who are Christians. 2 Thessalonians is written more for those who do not go at that time, who are here left behind. Not a good place to be. Before the second coming of Christ. So in 1 Thessalonians 4, Christ returns in the air. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Christ returns to the earth. That is actually the second coming of Christ. The first part is the rapture, that's where we are caught up to be with him. He comes in 1 Thessalonians secretly for the church. He's going to take the church, not a church, not First Baptist or the Cowboy Church or the whatever church is in town. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the church, the universal church of God's people. God's people who have dedicated their life to him, who have confessed with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And because of that, they are born-again believers, and born-again believers are going to be pulled out of here. Can you imagine how bad the world is going to be when that happens? Can you imagine what it's like now a million times fold? Because when Christ is taken his church out of here, the influence of his people, godly people in this world, will be gone. We think it's bad now. Let me tell you, folks, you don't want to be there. You want to make sure that you've made your plans to be there when Christ comes to take his church back to him. Will there be people saved between there and the second coming? Yes. Not easily. It's going to be very difficult for them for that to happen. Number one, they will not have the witness of other believers. Many believe the Holy Spirit will be pulled away because he's with the heart of the church. And in that time, one of the only ways they're going to become a believer is through martyrdom, because they're going to have to decide to take the mark of the beast or not. We'll talk about that some more next week, but you take the mark of the beast when the lawless one comes. And so they're going to have to say, I believe in Christ, and they will have to give up their life at that point. It's going to be very, very difficult. Believers escape the tribulation. That 7-year period of tribulation is going to be a horrible, horrible time. Now, I know there's some people believe that we're going to go through part of it or some of it or whatever, but let me tell you what, I don't want to go through any of it. I want to be gone with Christ whenever he comes to take me home. Unbelievers experience this tribulation, this judgment that's going to take place. 1 Thessalonians tells us that the rapture is going to happen at a undisclosed time. We will not know. No one knows. No man knows the hour when that is going to happen. Even Christ himself, God will reveal to him and say, go. It's time to go gather them home. In the second coming that's going to take place that we're reading about in 2 Thessalonians, is that occurs at the end of the tribulation period, and it's what is called the great day of the Lord that's going to happen. So Paul, as he is writing to these people, he's trying to help them understand what's going on and what's going to happen, to get them ready for these things and to try to warn them that something is going to happen. So he gives them something that is very important for us to know, a gift that God has given every one of us, a gift that you have, a gift that I have, a gift that is often unopened, a gift that is not opened as much as it should be, and that is the gift of prayer. So this morning I want us to look at the gift of prayer. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. And he says, and in view of this, and in view of what? Well, in view of God's judgment and glory, all these things that are going to happen, that are going to take place. He said, in view of this, we always pray for you, that our God will consider you worthy of his calling, and will by his power fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith, so that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified by you and you by him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those verses right there, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 and 12, are written for the church at Thessalonica, but they're written for you. If you're here on the earth right now waiting for Christ to come back, and you're here on the earth waiting for all these saints to come, Paul wrote those verses specifically for you. Now, sometime in the Bible, there are verses that are not written for you, and they're not written for us, and they're not written for us as a church. I often love it when people start quoting verses out of the book of Job. Now, one of the things you find in the book of Job, a lot of the things that were there were Job's three friends who came to comfort Job in a time of trouble, and God says, "What everything you said was wrong." So it was a narrative, and they were saying, "Job, you need to curse God and die. Job, you need to do this. You're a bad person. You're all these things." They did not know what God knew. So be very careful when we use Scripture out of context. When you just find a passage of Scripture somewhere and you go, "Oh, that's a good one. I think I'll make that my verse." That verse may not be written for you. It may be written for specific people at a specific time for a specific purpose. And because of that, we must be very careful to look at the context of what a verse comes. But this verse here is to believers to help us understand how to get by right now until Christ comes back. How do we focus our life and our attention on him? So Paul says this. He prayed for his converts, and he prayed for them. And he said, because of all I just said, I want something to happen. There are three concerns that Paul sees that I see in these prayer for us that we can have for today. And the first is in the first part of verse 11. It says, in view of this, we pray that God will consider you worthy. The first thing is their worthiness. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, we go back, it's clear in evidence of God's righteous judgment that you will be counted worthy of God's kingdom, which you're also suffering. Paul comes back to this word worthiness, to be worthy, to be ready. Paul said he wanted them to be worthy of the kingdom when they entered the glory of the future. But he emphasized their present situation. He said that you might live up to the calling that God has for you. Turn, look over in verse chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, but we must always thank God for you, brothers, loved of the Lord, because of from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through the belief in the truth. He called you to He called you to this through our gospel so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, either by our message or by our letter. Paul says to them, their worthiness, he says, you need to live up to the calling. Live up to who you are. You know, one of the things that my dad would often tell me when I would leave home, maybe your parents did the same thing. I'd be leaving home, my dad'd say, now listen. Listen, remember who you are. And remember whose you are. And remember, don't bring disgrace on our family. I'm afraid I did that a couple of times. But he would say, don't bring disgrace on our family. Live up to the calling. Live up to what you've been taught. You ever hear your dad or your mom say, you've been taught better than that? I said, I don't remember that lesson. Well, then my dad would say, well, let me remind you. And he didn't just teach it, he showed it. But we must live up to the calling that God has called us. As believers, that's what we're here for. That's why God has left us here on this earth, to live up to the calling, to live in a manner worthy that brings glory and honor to God, where God sits around in heaven and he turns to Jesus and he goes, hey, Jesus, that's mine. Look at him. Look what he's doing. Man, he's living up to the call. But I'm afraid so often he hears this, whew, don't look at that, Jesus, because he ain't living up to it. He's not living up to the call of his life. Christ calls us to live up to that call that he has called us to live as one of his children, to bring glory to him. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, when that rapture comes, we're going to stand before God. When we stand before him, we want to make sure we're not ashamed, because he used that word. Don't be ashamed when you're there. When you stand before him someday, you want to say, God, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Because I lived the way that you wanted me to live. Now, we're going to sin, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to do something. Yes, we all are. We're imperfect. We're sinners. And until that day when God glorifies us and he makes us perfect, but we are called to live a life worthy. And because of that, we need to do that. Now, we're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some difficulties. And that's what he was telling these people in Thessalonians. You're going to go through some difficulties. Tough times are going to come. Don't think they're not. If anyone ever teaches you a gospel that says when you become a Christian, everything is going to be rosy and smooth and good, run away. Because that's not what happens. Christ himself said, in this world you will have difficulty. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be sadness. There's going to be death. There's going to be sickness. Those things happen. It's part of this world that we live in that is fallen. But it's there not just to show you how bad things are, but to show you how good things can be when we follow Christ and we serve him. So these trials come. Our faith is tried. We reveal our worth. You know, it's one of those things people always say, what do you get when you squeeze something? Whatever's inside comes out, right? You ever been squeezed? Sometimes we're squeezed through difficulties in our lives. Sometimes it's financial difficulties. Sometimes it's physical difficulties. Sometimes it's a boss. Sometimes it's a family. Sometimes it's a person. We're squeezed. And when we are squeezed, what should come out of us is a sweet fragrance of Christ. But I'm afraid sometimes that doesn't happen. I'm afraid sometimes when we're squeezed, what happens is the bitterness and the anger and the hurt that's in there. And we must realize that that can be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. And when he changes that, when we are squeezed, we ought to be coming out with perfect. So we need to look at our hearts and see what is there. So he calls us first. He prays this prayer. He says, God, I want them to be worthy. I want them to be worthy. I want them to be worthy of calling themselves Christians. Now, we must realize that the word Christian, when it was first given in Antioch, as Paul was writing, they were first called Christians there. It was not a good term. It was a word that was used, oh, you're one of those Christians. That's more like what it was being used. It was a put down. It was something to try to make them feel less than what they are. And now we come back to the point of someone calls us a Christian. In our world today, often Christians, being called a Christian is a put down again. But we must be worthy to be called a Christian. What that means is a little Christ, to be a little Jesus in this world in which we live. Now I go, I can't measure up to Jesus. Yeah, but he said, I want you to be a little Jesus. I want you to follow after me and be a little Christ in everything that you do. So when someone looks at you and someone sees you, let me ask you a question. They say, boy, there's a little Jesus. There's a little Christ. The way they act, the way they respond, how they live, totally different. So he tells that. Then in the second part of verse 11, he says the second thing. He says that you walk worthy of his calling and will by his power fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith. This is what he talks about as our walk. Paul often used that word walk. To walk. And it didn't mean to walk around. It means the way that we live our daily life. That by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of you and every act promoted by your faith. He says, I want some character in your life. And that's what he's talking about their walk. This character. And he said, character leads to conduct. If you have this character in your life, there are certain ways that you will live, certain ways that you will do business, certain ways that you will treat people, certain ways that you act when you go places. And people can look at you and say, that person is different. That person is different. They're different not because they're trying. They're different because Christ lives in them. And when Christ lives in us, he comes out in our actions. He comes out in our speech. He comes out in the way that we conduct business. He comes out in everything that we do when Christ is a part of our life in doing that. Paul linked here, he linked faith and love in verse 3, and he linked in verse 4 endurance. And here he links it with power. He says, if we believe God, we will receive power in our lives. That God is going to give us the power to do that. And he's going to change us as we are victorious, not just in when things are going well, but when tribulations come, when trials come, when difficulties come. And that's what he says. Do that. Now, I talked to a guy one day who had his phone. And he said, I had a problem with my phone. He said, I plugged it in when I went to the motel, and I plugged it in to charge, and I woke up the next morning, and it was dead. He said, I couldn't figure out what was wrong. He said, but when I plugged it in, when I first plugged it in, I put it on, and the little green light came on and said it was charging. Then I turned off the lights and went to bed. He said, what I didn't realize was that switch that I turned off the lights in also turned off the plug on the wall. Now, sometimes we're plugged into the wrong thing. And sometimes we're plugged into things that don't have power. But you plug into Jesus Christ, he will give you that power. Don't trust a source of power without checking to see if it works. But when we plug into Jesus, we know we got power. And that's what he's talking about, this walk that gives you the strength that you need to make it every day. Then in verse 12, he comes back with one more thing that he prays for. He says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified by you and you by him, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about our witness. That Christ will be glorified in his saints when they return with him, but he should also be glorified in our lives today. That our witness. What does that mean? Does that mean walking up to someone and saying, hey, let me witness to you. Let me give you the Roman road. Roman road says all the sins fall short of the glory of God. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about walking up and witnessing in that manner. He's talking about every day that we live our lives, does it make a difference? Can someone look at us and someone see us and say, I believe that person is a follower of Christ. Why? Not because they carry a big Bible around, not because they put a fish on the back of their car, not because they wear the T-shirt. It's because of the way that they live. Are they living their life and treating people and acting in a certain way and manner that brings a witness for Christ? You see, we're all witnesses. All of us are witnesses. We're either a good one or a bad one. It's the way it is. Now, if I knocked on your door one day and said, hey, listen, I'm here to tell you about the wonders of Rogaine. Now, if some of you don't know what Rogaine is, Rogaine helps you grow hair. I rubbed it all over my head, and I got hair on my hands. Didn't work. If I knocked at your door and said, you know, and I was a 67-pound weakling who could barely stand and said, listen, I got these vitamins, and they're the best thing that you could ever take. And you'd say, do you take them? Yeah, oh yeah, you should have seen me before. What I'm saying is this, folks, when people look at us, are we representing the product? The product is Jesus Christ, God's Son. And he calls us to be his witnesses. He calls us to be the ones who put on a commercial, if you would, for him every day. We're putting a commercial out there. And when we put a commercial out there, it's in our home, it's in our walk, it's in our work, it's at our businesses, it's at the grocery store, it's wherever we go. We are a commercial for Christ. And if we're a commercial for Christ and God and people look at us, they ought to be able to say, that person represents Christ well. in doing that. And that's what he's saying. He says here, the believer glorifies Christ is likewise glorified in Christ. That's what he says there. He says, if I glorify Christ, Christ will glorify me. Now, that doesn't mean that I want to walk around going, look at me, everybody look at me. But he's saying, God will strengthen your witness the more you glorify Christ. The more that you are glorifying him, the more that he is going to use you to reach others and to make a difference in someone's life. Paul is writing to the people there at Thessalonica some almost 2,000 years ago, but he's writing to us today. And he's saying to us, he said, I want you to be worthy of the call. I want you to walk with Christ, and I want you to be my witness. I want you to be a good advertisement for me in everything that you do. When we do that, it makes a difference in all ways. How can we be done? How can we do that? He ties it all up at the end of verse 12. He says, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's grace. It's God's grace that does it. Not us, but it's him who does it. He says all these things go together. Grace and glory go together. Suffering and glory go together. As we receive grace, we reveal his glory. And when we do that, it changes the people around us, and it changes us. There was a little girl one day whose dad was a pastor. On Sunday after church, she went up to him and she said, Dad, why are you different when you're up there than you are when you're at home? He said, what do you mean? She said, Dad, why are you different at church than you are at home? Dad, why do you treat Mama like you do? Dad, why do you say the words you say? Dad, why do you act the way you act? She said, Dad, when I see you go up there to that pulpit, I don't want you to come down. But Dad, when I see you come down, I don't ever want you to go back up. People are watching. People are watching. Our children are watching. Families are watching. Co-workers are watching. Friends are watching. What kind of advertisement are we for the Lord Jesus Christ? Bow your head with me today. Paul prayed for them. He said, times are going to get tough. It's not going to be easy. But I want you to walk with Christ. And if you will walk with Christ, Christ will be glorified. Christ will be glorified. Father, I pray that, Lord, in this place today, that, Lord, that we will examine our hearts and we'll be like the psalmist David who said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Look at me down the inside of me in the depths of my heart. Search me and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will search our hearts and we will walk with you as we should. And we will glorify you in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.